Hey guys, we're back with another episode.
Episode 19.
That's right, we're getting older.
That we are so close to double. Well, I guess it's already double.
Yeah, we're close to 21 though.
Yeah,
we're gonna be legal.
But it's a big deal. I mean, we have lost, you know, we have lost episodes. But,
yeah.
But you know, we're almost there to 20. It's gonna be a big deal. We're gonna have to have a party.
Yes, but this one's special. This one is a fun one.
We have our guest is a. Florist? No, he's not a florist.
He's the orchid.
Orchid.
Orchidinus.
The orchid. Oh, the orchid kid.
Ooh, the orchid kid. I like that.
I got a superhero name. Joseph, funny man Joseph Greenhour.
Yes.
Is here. He appears on the hit web series. You know what's good with that?
Yep.
Starring Joe Greenhour and Silas Lindstein. So it's a hit.
Yes.
Obviously.
Oh God, it's all over the
We've
way.
Had huge numbers when we pay for it. he's on here. We talk about how we became an orchid addict.
Yep.
And getting into
talk about Starfleet and travel.
Talk
and
a lot about Starfleet.
Yeah, and the Mayflower.
This is the Star Trek one.
Yeah. Mayflower. We talk about the Mayflower. We talk about
all the details.
His dreams. We talk about.
It's a fun episode.
It really
you
is.
You can listen to.
Yeah. There is a tiny spoiler in there somewhere. I think we revisit.
Yeah, talk about Passengers again. I don't know why we have to keep talking about that. I like
that
it.
Damn good.
This episode is brought to you by disappointment.
Yes,
disappointment
and sadness.
Sadness already sponsored us.
Did
and then it?
It
killed
oh, okay.
itself.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this is brought to you by tears because Betsy DeVos has taken
the whole cabinet.
Yeah.
Disappointment is brought to you by everybody who voted for Donald Trump.
Yes, yes.
We're here. You can follow Manny. What's your Twitter handle?
It is Manny Martin Jr. It's at Manny Martin Jr. I think. Or no, it's Manny Martin Comedy. It's one of those. Try them all. I don't know. We'll post.
Look him up on Facebook. I'm at Silas L. You want to please share this episode if you really enjoy it. Tell people about our podcast. That's what gets us going.
Yep.
It's recorded here in Seattle live at Skyline Properties.
Buy a home
from Silas. It's in my office at Skyline Properties. It's wonderful. But that's where we're recording. We're professionals and shit now.
Yes.
This is wonderful.
Are you tired of renting? Well, make sure you go see Silas Lindstein.
We really need sponsors.
Yes.
Hey, but thanks so much for supporting the show. This was a fun episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Yes.
So download it. Listen to it now. Joseph Greenhour.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Again.
Yes.
Oh, I love that intro music. Every time it comes on, I start dancing.
Turns me on.
All right. Yeah. You know what we're talking about, Joe, right?
I have no idea. There's no music in here. For the folks at home, there's no music in here.
You're breaking the illusion. You just broke the illusion.
Yep. You broke the fourth wall.
Joseph,
there's no walls in here either.
Actually,
we're recording outside, everybody.
Four walls.
Joseph Greenhour is our guest.
Yes, Mr. Mom, Mr. Horticulturalist.
Future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
I don't know which Hall of Fame that is, but I want to be in there.
The Who Horticulture knows? Hall of Fame, man.
Maybe.
That's right.
Are you a horticulturalist?
You know, I'm actually not.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Is that an actual trade? I mean,
yeah, you can go to school, you get a degree in it. And
well,
you're
right, but is
I'm
it,
not qualified.
Does horticulturalist mean you have a broad spectrum?
I think it's a broader spectrum of knowledge than...
Because you focus on...
Orchids. That's
okay.
All I do. That's all I couldn't grow a fruit tree or a carrot or...
So you, like, breed them?
No, I don't even do that.
Oh, okay.
What?
Orchids from seed to flower take about between 4 and 6 years if they're commercially grown.
Damn.
So it's a process, and
wow.
And babies.
That's longer than a lot of marriages.
Yeah, man.
It's a long time. Yeah,
so and there's no like steroid that can grow it faster.
You can't make it. That's actually faster than what happens in nature.
Them?
In nature, it's like 6 to 8 years.
Damn.
So
okay.
It takes a long time. There's a they do clone them, and there's a process by which they put the babies. Actually, orchids spend the first 2 years of their lives going through a series of three jars.
Mm.
They grow in an agar jelly inside of a jar, and then you sort of
a what jelly?
Agar.
Agar?
A-G-A-R.
Does
agar.
Go, does that go with peanut butter? Or I don't think so. No?
It's so
like KY?
I don't really know what it is. I'm not a scientist.
Is it jelly jelly?
It's a gelatinous substance, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I don't know what it is. I think it's some kind of like they use it a lot in science-y stuff. I don't know what it is.
Where does it come from?
You're asking me about lab equipment at this point. I really don't know where it comes
from. I
don't
know about this jelly.
Right?
How do I get this jelly
This
money?
Could be the cure to a lot of different things for us. It could be.
I just think about the money.
That's
can
true.
Can we be making money in this jelly right. business?
Oh, man. Can you imagine that?
I like to get that bread. I want to get that jelly.
I was thinking of a new type of lube.
If you go to the supermarket now, all the jelly in there, jelly and jam, they use any word other than jelly and jam to describe it. They're
preserved,
pureed fruit spread. You know, it's like, come on, man. Like, call it. I don't know the difference between jam and jelly. All these other things are just confusing me.
Yeah.
Jelly is nothing but the.
I always think of jam as being thicker, and then jelly.
Yeah, it's got the pectin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think jelly is just the pure juice, sort of. Like, it's filtered. It's all filtered out. Everything's filtered.
You know what
out.
I just found out? I just found out that margarine is a horrible product.
Just found that out?
Yeah, I didn't know that it was like basically plastic.
I don't know, it was plastic. I mean, it was fake.
It's fake butter.
You know what? I'm going to go out and march for all those margarinized people.
Oh, my God.
Did it.
Joe's not.
I'm sorry. I did it. I went there.
You know what I want to have? I want to have one of the. I want to have a comedy contest with like Joe and like Stephen Ward.
Just puns.
Just puns.
Just
man.
The punsters,
just a,
right?
Just a pun contest.
Puns and one-liners.
Yeah,
you got to get the puns and one-liners.
That'd be amazing. The pun one-liner contest.
Joe's not just an orchidist.
Yes.
He is also a local comedian.
Very funny.
Local. Very local.
Very local. like he's like a neighborhood comedian.
Yeah.
And then he's off.
I am going on tour from Shoreline to, I think we might be ending in Auburn. I'm not.
There you go.
I'm not
You're
sure.
killing it, man.
And of course, the best thing he does in life right now is we are actually doing a web series together called "You Know What Goes Good with That."
Yes, make sure you check that out. By the way,
we have a YouTube channel.
How many episodes are you guys in now?
Six or something?
Okay,
eight.
No. I think it's eight that are out.
And let me ask you this. What's been grossest thing that you've done or you eaten so far?
Cheetos and milk.
Oh,
was
that,
gross.
Yeah, I think that's the most. So we do combinations of the people say they eat.
Yeah.
They say, oh, this is a legitimate thing that we eat.
Right.
And so we try it. Right now we're just trying all these combos of weird ass
pickles
things.
And ice cream. The pregnancy craving.
Oh, okay.
That was probably the worst.
Was that worse? You think that was worse than the cheese? I did. That was the first thing I think I spit out.
Really?
When I ate the pickles and the chocolate.
Oh,
like there was something about
that. Just sounds awful.
It had to come out. Other things they've gone down my spine. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Some of them are good. Like peanut butter sandwich with the pickle on it was good.
I want to see you guys do like balut. What's that? The black egg that they do in the Philippines where they like buried in the ground. It's got like a baby chicken in it, kind of.
Oh,
it's disgusting. I want to see you guys do that.
Like a fermented baby.
Yeah, and it's egg? Like, and it's a delicacy in
really?
Like certain
delicacies
countries.
Are always terrible,
aren't they? Though I'm like, who eats this shit? And it's so
goat's
expensive.
Eyeballs in Mongolia are a delicacy. You know what? I got a theory. I think delicacies come from like periods of starving. Right?
Yeah.
Like some Frenchman can't get enough to eat, so he likes. We're going to cook the snails, you know. And all he's got
a
little
delicacy.
He's got some butter and garlic, and that's all he can do to make it palatable. You know.
The funny thing is, I if you don't cook the snail right, I think that it could give you some sort of brain disease, from what I hear.
Great.
So, yeah.
All the more reason.
All the more reason.
Let's
to
get
eat
some
it,
more.
How hungry do you think you got to be before you look at a sea urchin
about,
and you're like, that looks good.
Dude.
I want to pull that spiky thing off of ocean rock and just find out what that tastes like.
Well, that's must be just pure hunger. Like, mm-hmm. But what about like the blowfish, right? Isn't that
the
one where
you can die
if they don't cut it properly?
Yeah, it properly.
I used to work for a guy in high school. I had a job in a Japanese restaurant, and the old guy that worked in there was retired from being a chef in Japan, and he at the time was like one of six people in America that was licensed to cut the fugu in Japan.
Fugu?
Fugu
is that what it's called?
You have to be licensed.
Yeah, you have to actually get a license to do it. Yeah,
damn.
You have to be like a master.
You can kill someone.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you cut it wrong.
Well, it's what It, no, yeah, never mind. I was thinking that it paralyzes or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it does. It, oh, okay. It's like it. I think it's got some kind of toxin in it that can really it'll mess you up. I think what it does is it cuts off the messages from your brain, so you forget to your heart forgets to beat.
Oh shit!
Your body literally now, just
shuts down.
Okay, now that has to like that would need to taste. Yeah. Like an orgasm feels or something, right? Like, why would you risk that? Like, just to, like, the thrill of eating.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go to Taco Bell for a thrill.
My
right?
boss one time gave me a thing, and she's like, oh, you gotta eat this. This is amazing. This is a thing, like, this is so hard to find in America. It's like, really special. It comes from Japan, and it tasted like foot odor.
Oh.
It tasted like a gym sock. It was so gross. I was like, this is what you... No, you know?
It's a delicacy. Joe, just eat it. My wife can't handle... She thinks that the show we're doing is the most disgusting thing I've ever done.
Oh, I just talked to a person we know who's a master of the mind. Could not handle it. No. Said it was said it was the grossest thing.
He can't handle the show?
Yeah. Like, I couldn't eat the stuff you guys eat.
But, you know, it's not as bad as, like, Fear Factor. You're not eating, like, oh, yeah, right. And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like,
so.
Come on. They're eating, like worms.
But a friend of mine says, Kevin, he was like, I just know when you bite it, I can't watch.
Ooh.
Because of your reaction, you look like you're going to puke. You know, whenever it's bad, like that. And my daughter keeps commenting, she's like, about you, Joe. She's like, how does he stay still? Like, she doesn't understand when you eat the gross thing, because I'm reacting huge.
Oh, you
and
move.
You're just like, you just stare there. You just stare at the sky as you're chewing it. Like, you don't react much, and she's like, how does he just stand there? That's so gross.
You know, I honestly, I've internalized it so much, because whenever we eat it, I get this, like, I really want to be able to speak intelligently to what has happened, you know, in 5 or 10 seconds. So I'm considering it in my mind. I'm like, you know, okay, it's gross. Why is it gross? It's gross because it's kind of salty and it's mixing with, you know. So I'm like, I'm in a very analytical state. My mind is like, you know, really, if I were to actually think about it from a little bit more of a distance, you know, as an observer, it would be really gross. But because I'm actually trying to describe the people experiencing.
Trying to do the scientific thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, imagine if, like, you were, like, you know, like, amputate your own arm and had to describe it to somebody as you were doing it. You're like, oh, it really hurts, and you know, like, it would give you something to focus on,
right?
You know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I mean, the surprising one for me has been it's an upcoming episode of stout beer with chocolate syrup.
Ooh,
actually craved it the other night.
Well, I think it worked with the darker beer.
Yeah. Well, there was something we tried about a Pilsner,
it.
Too.
And okay. That was gross. That
wasn't super gross. It looked disgusting. It was nasty looking. It looked like we were drinking dirt
that
water.
Bad,
I didn't think it was terrible. It was like, not really so much. But the stout, I was like, I think it brought out some flavors. I was actually, I was at a comedy club the other night. And they handed me there was an extra one poured, a stout.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't really like, so I took some drinks of it. But mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I'm thinking some chocolate syrup in this. Down this really good right now. And I was like, oh, this show's getting to me.
The man.
You'd be like one of those people that can only drink coffee after they pour in a bunch of sugar.
Yeah.
There's people that, you know, just have to pour in the sugar to be able to even ingest it.
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean,
no, really?
Very rarely. I mean, and it has to have sugar in it in order. Like, I can't just go straight coffee. It's like...
When I think of you guys, like, neither of you guys is really... Neither of you drinks.
No, yeah.
You don't smoke weed.
No.
Yeah, now you're saying you don't like coffee.
Look, I'm old. I'm over a lot of things.
I'm old and I'm just getting into some things. So
the true comic in you's coming out.
Well,
so
I just said,
your wife's
know.
A lawyer. You can afford things now. You can afford the good drugs.
There you go.
We're paying off student loans. That law degree didn't come free.
Wait, so you did the dope show, right?
I did. That was a
dope.
It was great experience, mm-hmm. and Tyler's a wonderful producer, but that was a huge mistake.
The dope show
fuck
for people.
Dabs. That's all I'm gonna say.
So that's what you guys are.
People don't know the dope show is a show where people they do a set. Sober, and then they do another. Then they go smoke a lot of pot,
right.
Get high, and go do a set again.
Okay, so I'm gonna just like say a couple of things. Like he does this show in a lot of different comedy clubs,
right?
Right, but the one that he does is in Portland is in a cannabis club.
Oh wow!
So everybody in there is just stoned out of their gourd. They cannot remember anything you said 5 seconds ago. So don't even bother having a premise. Your joke is
no callbacks from 5 minutes before.
Yeah, but I was there with Levi Manis, who just slayed in there because he's a one-liner comic.
Right.
I mean, he's very talented anyway. I'm not trying to put it off as that. You know,
no, one-liners.
He did so well in there. It was. They loved him. That was great.
Shit. It's so funny. It's like you get in these certain situations where it's like, why am I still doing comedy? It's like,
oh my God, I just did.
Well, that was fun, but it was, I honestly started smoking weed in 1996.
Okay.
And I haven't been that high since 1996. I've never done a dab before. Yeah. So that was, for me, a new experience.
Holy shit.
But I didn't do that. It was weird. It was like, you know that feeling when you're like, I'm bombing.
Yeah.
Am I bombing? Wait. I'm not bombing. Mm-hmm. No, I'm bombing. And it was like a soft bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I didn't go just like terrible. And I got some chuckles on some of my best jokes. You know,
right.
I'm like, okay, I guess. Yeah. Well,
so I got this text this weekend, and it was from Silas.
Is that me?
Before
I jumped off the ferry.
Yeah, no, you said something along the lines of he was like, sometimes you do comedy for a paycheck, and other times.
Sometimes you do comedy, like, and you get like, this is why I do comedy.
Yeah.
And some nights you do a paycheck. Tonight I got a paycheck. Like, it was, okay, I did this room like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I headlined. It was my first real headlining where some third party said to come and headline the show.
Right.
That I wasn't friends with them really. You know, they just wanted me to do the show. So I did it and I did great. It was a great experience. It was wonderful. And so I was like, oh, this will be fun to go back. And this time, there were only like 6 people there.
Oh, shit.
And last time, you know, there were like 30. Well, that was the full room.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guys were like, there's a guy up front who was a little heckly.
Yeah.
With that style. And it was just, I got to 29. I looked at my clock where I was like, okay, I've done about 40. I got to start getting to my closer. And I look down, and it's 29 minutes. I'm like, son of a bitch! And I told the audience, I was like, it's amazing how fast things go. When nobody's laughing, you go through your stuff a lot quicker. It was just...
I heard a thing when Carlin said that once, where he did a show, mm-hmm. and he went through his material, and he did his full hour, and he used to do like these two-hour shows. And he's like, and at the end of the show, he's like, folks, I did this show last night. I told the same jokes in the same order, and it took an hour and a half. And he was there for like 40 minutes, you know? So just like, yeah, because it's true. When there's no applause breaks.
No laughter. I mean, dude, that's how those corporate gigs go.
It was such a bad. And do you do an hour when you do those?
No, I do 30 minutes. And like sometimes, like literally, that is the longest 30 minutes. Because there's two different scenarios, right? They're never really in the comedy club. Nobody's really, like, sitting in front of you. It's always people standing. And you get two scenarios. One, where all the people are actually focused on you, but they're 20 feet back. Or you get the other situation where everybody's just walking around and having conversations. TVs are on. So nobody really...
While you're doing your set.
So you're really just narrating a party.
I got to start doing corporate
games. That's all I do.
I did my high school reunion.
I remember laughing when you told me you were going to do that.
Everybody told me don't do it. And you know who went to my high school was the class president was Jeremy Horn.
Oh, no shit.
So, shut up.
So he's like, dude, don't do this. Don't do this. Yeah. I'm not doing this with you. He's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. It'll be fun. You know, let's just see what happens.
No, it was terrible. Oh, it was horrible.
But horrible. Do you guys know Vili Folau?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the DJ at our...
Was Mary Kay there?
Yeah, she did. She showed up.
Dude, Mary comes everywhere with him.
What? She showed up.
You don't remember Mary Kay Letourneau?
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
Yeah, they're still together, Mary.
Is that the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're married. They got kids, the whole thing.
Did they go to school with you? Oh, it was just the DJ?
Billy was just the DJ.
That story broke while we were... I think he went to high school down in like Burien or something.
Yeah.
And that story broke while
Federal Way, I think he was, while
we were in school.
He said Mary Kay, I thought the makeup.
Yeah.
Like, what? The person who started Mary Kay makeup was there?
Dude, I shit you not. High school reunions, when they ask you to do it, it's the worst thing. Because I just started kind of doing comedy. Maybe like 2 years in. And they were like, hey, Manny, why don't you do some comedy? You know, it'll be great.
Same for me. 2 years in.
I did, but here's the thing. I started to kind of talk, and I noticed that nobody in the back was paying attention. They were like, fuck him. They were like, yo, we don't care if you're doing jokes, bitch. And then like five people in the front were like, no, tell jokes. And I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and wait and see if we can get everybody's attention. Like, and I'll be back in like 30 minutes, and we'll try to do it. Never came back to this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I shouldn't have done it, but I did. And I'm glad I did. And now I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, actually. Yeah. I mean, there was a few people in the front that I really had. You got the connection with them. And then, like, I find that that's actually it for me more and more. You talk about why you do comedy. Like,
just the one person that connects with you?
Well, actually, I would actually rather make a real connection with one person in the front in a big room than, you know, bomb some open mic and make no connections with anybody.
Or I'd rather make a deep connection with one person in that room than have a whole crowd just laugh, but I feel nothing.
That's always
like meaningless sex. I'll take the meaningless sex. That's much better.
You're just like, I want to thank you guy in the front. Fuck everybody else. I'm just agreeing.
Like, I did literally, okay, for a corporate gig, because they're a corporation, I wouldn't feel bad.
Yeah. But you get paid pretty well.
I'll tell you. That was the first time I've gone to the bar.
Yeah.
And I was kind of almost wanted to go like, you don't have to. Sorry. Like, that's not what you're hoping would happen. But I'm like, but I want to go like, look, fucking there were six people. It was already, and then some left because the guy was heckling. I told my story of getting left.
Right.
Like the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I struck a nerve on the guy
because
he was heckling kind of. Mm-hmm. And then he just got sad. And he was like drinking. I was like, well, but there's a joke there at the end. Like, I bring it in. And like,
dude.
Crap, I think I lost him. And then the girls who were laughing were like, we kind of got to take him now. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you're the ones laughing. Come on. And then I had to convince two guys that had gone out for smokes. I thought they left. But they just went out to smoke to come sit up front and got a couple of the comics to come up front.
You know, that's the thing, though, is that everybody experiences these horror stories in comedy. And
why do I was like, and then I have an hour ferry ride back. You know,
right,
just
to think
go
about
like,
it.
Why the fuck do I do this? Why? Why?
That's the same thing I say every time I do those corporate gigs. Then I see that check and I'm like,
why. But then, you know, also like you do a really good set and you can't sleep.
Right.
Oh, you're so jacked on
it. So amped up. Like I just did Verizon's corporate gig and they had it in the middle of the comedy club. So everybody's actually paying attention. But right before I get there, I shit you not. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Oh, my God. They were like, okay, could you not do anything about race? Could you not do anything about, like, sex? Could you not, you know, talk about this, that, and also not about the immigrant thing? I was like, well, there goes my whole fucking set.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go up and just say what I want to
say
anyway.
They always tell – because they don't – the thing
you
is
go,
they
can
don't –
you hear me now?
They don't trust you is the thing. Like, they're right, like – because they're used to comedians that, you know, that see on the internet.
Are
like,
dirty.
Like, yeah, look – well, also, like, the only time you see a comedian on the internet is like, look at this asshole did this horrible thing. You know, like, it's either somebody got heckled or somebody said some terrible thing that they should never, you know, never go back on stage again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the only, like, people are here, you hear these horror stories, and then they hire somebody who's a professional.
Right.
I mean, like, how many stories have you heard about, like, you know, like some, you know, terrible root canal?
Yeah.
Right, but you still go to the dentist.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
You have to trust these people.
Yeah,
it's
man.
A job like any other job, you know. Well, not like any other
you
job.
You know what's funny, though? Okay, I have so doing, like, real estate. I mean, even before I was doing this, like, my brother, like, they had an opportunity that they could just rent the house when they were buying another one. They could have just kept their old house and rented it out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, no. The neighbors across the street had this horrible renter, and they had, like, it was horrible. Like, there's some people who hear the horror stories, and they won't. They just absolutely won't. And I'm like, but you're hearing the worst. There's a reason why you rented before, and, like, everyone rents.
Everyone
like,
rents,
are you a good renter? You just need to find you.
Right.
But everyone's, like, paranoid they're going to get the one who has the drained psychot, opens the meth lab.
And you know that the people you shouldn't rent to are the people you know.
Yeah.
I had a horror story because I bought a house. My wife and I got married. It was kind of messed up. We got married in California, and she was going to go to law school, and it looked like at the time she was going to go to Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this house. And then because I had it in my head that, like, she's going to go there. We were like an hour away. I was working on orchids. We're gonna go there. I'm gonna keep my job, and you know, and then I'll just go up to see her. Like, we do, like, this drive back and forth thing, you know, like, maybe get a little apartment or something. We'll figure it out, right? And then, like, UW came in, and we're like, oh, we'll offer you the scholarship if you come back to UW.
Wow.
Right? So she's like, oh, shit, I'll do that, right? And then I'm like, oh, man, like, we should have waited to buy this house. but then the housing market collapsed, and then I was like, oh, we really should have waited to buy this house. Yeah. And we got stuck underwater, and we had to rent our house for, like, 2 years because we literally couldn't sell it for what we owed on it.
Damn.
And when we did sell it, we sold it for what we owed. We lost all our down payment money. It really sucked. It was
so
terrible.
In California?
Yeah.
So did you rent to friends down there?
My coworker, yeah, I rented to a guy that I used to, when I moved. My coworker's like, we need a new place. Like, we can rent your place, right? And he had a job, right, working where I interviewed him, hired him, right? And then his girlfriend had a salon. She worked in a salon. She's a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, within 6 months, like, he gets fired, she gets fired, the whole fucking thing. And then, like, you know,
they're like, Joe, we need a place to stay, man. You can't just kick us out.
Oh, well, then there's laws on, like, how long it takes to evict people and all this. And, you know, do you really want to, like, strong arm your friend and coworker? And, you know, and then, you know, who actually got us out of that situation was my wife. God bless her. She went down there and she kicked everybody's ass. She's like, you get the fuck out of here. I mean, seriously, she really, like, I take care of a lot of the business end of things in our house, but. But man, she went down there and really just like,
dude, it is
kicked some major ass.
It's crazy. That's how
she kicked some ass.
That's how my wife is. It's like, I'm the finance guy. Like, I'm really passive, but this woman, like, we used to have these crazy neighbors upstairs and they would always get in fights. She would run into their house, knock on the door, walk in and be like, look, motherfuckers, we're not.
Really?
I'm like, holy shit.
She seems so gentle.
She seems so gentle until you piss her off and she will cuss. Like,
good to know.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, there was, like, a fight in the middle of the street. She, like, runs outside to watch. I'm like, bitch, what are you going to do? Like, I was like, you're going to get shot, and I got to run out.
But you said that?
No, I said that in my head. I said, what are you going to do? Like,
you said the word. You know what time? Key and Peele. It was the bitch sketch. They said, I said, bitch, you ain't going to talk to me like that.
Wait, you said it?
You said it? I said, bitch. they're like the only comics I like quoted.
Yeah, like, man, I love those guys. I miss them. Great sketch comedy.
But. Who were you into before comedy? I mean, like
comedy. Like, who are my idols?
Yeah,
or,
who influenced you to like do comedy?
You know, it's weird. Like, I should have started doing comedy a long time ago because there's a video somewhere where. I had a stepbrother who was 4 days older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really weird. We had nearly the same birthday. And there's all these videos growing up that my dad took, and one of them were arm wrestling, and my stepbrother was a lot bigger than me, so his hero growing up was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
He's like, who do you want to be when you grow up? He's like, I want to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he asked me, and I said, Steve Martin.
Oh, there you go.
So when I was a little kid, I always liked the comedies. I liked the, you know, so I think the guys that I thought were funny early, you know, we're you know, Three Amigos, like, that was my jam.
Yeah.
I love that
classic
movie. And all the SNL people, those
the
people male were great.
Plane. It's a male plane. How can you tell? Little balls underneath.
That movie's got so much gold in it. But now it's weird. It's different. Like, I don't watch as much comedy as I used to. Like, and then also, I think the comedy that I enjoy the most now is comedy I could never do because, for me, I enjoy the, it's like a lens or a perspective, right? I enjoy seeing people that are different than me do comedy because it's a really fun way to see a different perspective, right? So that's,
me too.
You know, like,
I really enjoy watching people who aren't you doing comedy.
But, you know, like, I'm there with you. I don't watch a lot of stand-up mostly because it's like,
you see it all the time.
You see it all the time. And then I also don't want to be like, oh, I thought of that, and then I really didn't think of that, and then go,
that's
like,
a little paranoid.
Yeah, a little paranoid, but.
You're like, no, is there something
to
that?
No, but you're learning your craft.
You are. I mean, you know, like, I'll watch
it. Enjoy
it. Very few, but you
know
what?
Do you still love comedy? Do you still love it?
I don't know if I love it like I used to when I first started, but I'll tell you what, being back in the open mic scene, it, like, it really inspired me to see these younger kids, and, like, they've got funny shit, and I'm like, oh, man, I need to keep writing and getting better and pushing myself.
I know, we know a comic, I remember talking to him a long time ago, he was like, he doesn't doesn't. He doesn't really listen to other comedy, like maybe like Patrice, someone big, but he didn't listen to podcasts or anything. And I'm kind of like, well, fucking, do you even like this?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you delving into it? Like, if you really love it, if I love food, I'm gonna eat at restaurants.
Well, do you listen to comedy still? Do you listen to stand-up?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I think the special I enjoyed most recently was probably Ali Wong.
Oh yeah, she was really good.
Yeah, her special was great. And
my wife loved her. Yeah.
Well, you know, like it was. Like, I'm married to an Asian lady, so like for me, it was, you know, some of the stuff she said was definitely like I kind of understood it a little more being in the household. But yeah, I think sometimes a different like for me, I think the more different for me that they are, the better. So that's like
It's like
a black lesbian or something.
Wanda Sykes. For me, like I think stand up has always been a form of it's just a form of comedy.
Right.
For me.
Right.
I've always loved. I love watching different types of comedy and seeing how that's presented.
Sketch.
I think too many young stand-ups here, and that's because I'm old. Mm-hmm. Like, so I'm like, I'm a new stand-up still,
right?
But I'm an old stand-up, like, because I'm old. But so I understand art is transferable. And I'm going to do different things, and you know, Patton Oswalt is a great comic, but he can't just do stand-up. He does all these other things. And for me, it's like whatever's funny. I just want to watch something funny, and that made me think when I started talking about this. Have you guys seen the Santa Clarita Diet?
No.
What is this?
It's a Netflix show. Okay. It stars Drew Barrymore and other people that I don't know.
Oh, she's a zombie.
She's a real estate agent who just like...
Wait, no.
Yeah, becomes a zombie one day.
Oh, okay.
And so then they kind of have to figure out this new lifestyle because she needs to eat people. But they don't want to change things. She still wants her marriage and her family and everything. But they're like, oh, but she kind of needs fresh meat.
Yeah.
From people.
Brains.
And they're living it. It's the, oh my God, in the first time you see her eat somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, blood is everywhere. It's so nasty.
So it's just dark.
But it's a dark comedy. Okay. It's very comic. But it's like, I have not seen something this dark in a long, long time. And it's so, like, everything's so brightly colored.
Did Gretchen watch it with you?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. My wife cannot watch this. I knew from the beginning that she wouldn't be able to.
She doesn't watch that kind of...
Zombies creep her the fuck out. She cannot...
Really?
I got a bowl from... I got this bowl. She will not even look at it. I'm trying to tell her. It's a bowl of Rosalie Gale. Former stand-up, owner of a couple businesses here. She. It's this bowl that says... this has like a picture of a little brain and there's a zombie quote around it. Like, I love you like a zombie loves brains. I'm not even allowed to have it in the house right now.
Really?
Like, she says at Halloween, maybe. I can bring it. But she was like, no, I am disgusted at zombies.
Yeah, my wife hates like scary movies. She doesn't like, especially those dark ones, like the demonic type ring type movies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even a big fan of those myself.
I don't like, and you know, the problem is I always, whenever I watch those, I'm always drinking. And then, you know, I go to bed kind of like in a weird state.
Yeah, and
then
you start dreaming about that shit.
Oh, God. And then you wake up, it's like 3 a.m. You're like,
man, you know, like you ever have sleep paralysis where you like wake up and you can't move? You ever have that?
Oh,
that's a common thing. It's more common than people know.
So I've had that maybe like 2 or 3 times in my life. That shit feels like a demon is holding
you.
Oh,
yeah.
The fuck
I'd
down.
Imagine.
That shit is scary.
I've never had that.
Man, I remember I woke up and I was like trying to move. And like basically I had to like try to like whisper over to Crystal because like my vocal wouldn't even like work. I was like, and then she was like, are you okay? And started shaking me. And I was like, oh, shit.
But I think it's part of your body, like, it's how your body relaxes. Like, it's like
your... Well, your brain, your body, when you sleep, your brain, like, basically shuts down a lot of input coming from your body, right?
Except for in the cases of the guy sleepwalk with me, what's his name? The comic.
Oh, Mike Birbiglia.
Mike Birbiglia, because he sleepwalks, right? And has to, like, be in a sleeping
bag. Yeah, there's
a
condition,
Yeah. That shit is wild to me. He jumped out of a second story window? Did you see
in Walla Walla, Washington.
Oh, did he really? Oh, this is a real thing that Mike Birbiglia's got a...
He has to sleep in a sleeping bag.
Wow, that's like, awesome.
Crazy. Because otherwise he'll get up and do stuff.
He'd make a great astronaut.
He almost killed himself because he jumped through the window.
His brain doesn't understand that he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Right.
And so his body
I've slept walk before.
Oh, but
have
and
you?
He...
Yeah.
Yeah, he jumped out a second story window.
And cut himself like in a place where he almost bled to death.
Yeah, well,
I
wasn't, like,
got up to get
away.
Apple pie, I think it was. But I was naked. And the whole family was watching TV, so that was fun.
Wait, how old?
I think I was like 13.
No, okay.
Okay, my parents claim when I was like 3 years old, like I suddenly started talking about monsters a lot.
Really?
And they had no idea like where I was getting this monster.
Because they didn't show you.
Three, four. Yeah, they're like, oh. And then one night, they like woke up and they saw me. I was carrying the TV. Like we had this little, this was like, you know, it was like 78. This little black and white TV, like 6-inch TV. I was carrying it across the hall and I went and plugged it in and started watching. And they're like talking to me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not really, I'm like, yeah. Like I was like.
Wow. Not even registering.
I was sleep watching TV.
Damn.
Wow. You know, I bet there's a way to program humans with that.
Yeah, no, probably.
Like some Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
3-year-old assassins out there.
Because I think I was too young to like try to pull off the pretending, oh, I was just sleepwalking. Whatever. I was like, no, like I seriously didn't even register it.
So, okay. Talking about monsters, like I know you don't necessarily believe in the afterlife. What about aliens?
Before Donald Trump, I didn't, but now
that's
my only hope.
I don't know. Like, it scares
come
me.
And destroy him.
It scares me to think that if there are aliens, they could meet and they're like, we want to meet your leader. And I'm like, oh,
meet
fuck.
Your leader. And we're like, oh, which one?
Which one? Do you want to meet the one before
you
this
know,
guy?
You should meet, this guy in Europe, you should meet.
Yeah. You should meet the guy in Canada.
Not him.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be a great sketch.
Yeah.
Like, where the aliens come to invade and everyone's too embarrassed. Like an American to show Donald Trump's president.
You know,
like, no, he's your president. Well, there's this guy. He's over. He's the Speaker of the House. It's really good. Like, oh, so he's in charge of everybody. Yeah, sure he is.
I think if aliens came here, I think if they were able to get here, they'd probably be able to watch our TV and get a Facebook account.
Probably. You know, I wonder, like.
I'm just sure that they like. There's so many Facebook accounts that are just like a puppy's face.
Do you think they probably wouldn't even think America was like a real country? They'd think it was a TV show.
Yeah, like
a lot of people aren't really like that.
It's interesting. I wonder, like, truly what they would think if they were to just
they couldn't tell what was real.
Yeah, like
is this a reality show?
Well, it's weird because we watch all of our shows in the context of having to live a regular life.
Right.
Here on the planet. So if they don't know any of that in context, yeah, it could be, you know, I bet they'd have to be some scientists, you know, anthropologists or not archaeologists, some kind of ologist that's, you know, trying to figure out what the cultural ramifications of the different shows are.
Do we think that they'd be violent or do we think they'd be?
That's really hard to know. I mean, would we be violent?
I mean, I think we'd be violent. I think
we would be.
If we discovered another planet, do you think they'd be like, okay, we gotta fuck these fuckers up?
Oh, right, yeah, no doubt. I think if Trump had anything to say about it, I think he would literally just be like, oh, we need to take over that planet and use it for, you know, making America great again. You know, some shit. Name it America.
But there's a whole world that has to discuss this, like, right? I mean,
we don't care. I think he thinks he runs the world at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
he's the leader of the free world.
Yeah, pretty much.
He can't understand why nobody likes him.
Right.
He doesn't believe that nobody likes him.
Yeah, anything, what did he say? What was the recent thing? Oh, like any poll
said,
any poll that says
anything negative about me is fake news.
You know what the craziest shit is? People believe that. People will listen to him and take him.
I know, all the time.
That's what I want. Everyone
the people who have actual education and lives and stuff. Well, nobody believes
him. I want everybody in the Seattle comedy community to know that any negative rumors you hear about me are definitely fake. It's just fake news by fake comedians.
Exactly.
Just making stuff up. That's the most dishonest people around.
We'll be tweeting about them tonight.
They're the medium.
Yep.
But alien, I do believe, I mean, I believe in, it's weird. I believe in aliens unless someone else, I believe in aliens.
Right.
But if someone else starts telling me how they believe in them, I'm like, fucking nuts. Are you kidding me? Like, now you sound crazy.
I think
there's a lot of stuff like that.
Part of me believes in, okay, so I don't, so we know you don't believe in like an afterlife.
We've discussed this. I know.
Okay.
I don't believe in it,
okay.
But I don't not believe in it.
Okay, does that make sense?
He's agnostic, yeah. I mean, that's agnosticism. Okay. You don't...
You think
no,
it could
there's
be
no
there,
verifiable.
But...
There's no verifiable...
Right.
You can't fact check these things,
right?
There's no way to know one way or the other. But I think that the way... ask a caterpillar if they believe in the afterlife.
Right.
Like, they might, you know... Caterpillar dies... But then it turns into a butterfly.
Right.
So, like, but
does
it's
actually die?
Well, they turn into like a mushy goo. Like, it actually dissolves.
Wow.
They don't really know. Yeah. You think it like changes in there? Like the But no, their body like dissolves into a goo and then reforms, and then there's like parts in there that kind of come back, and then some
really?
Parts. Yeah, oh, it's really fascinating stuff.
Gosh, I forgot a lot.
You and your
fourth grade.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Betsy DeVos. Well,
when you do orchids, you get into some weird bug stuff sometimes. But yeah, like there's a lot of metamorphoses that happen in nature where a being will go through one state and then it changes and it turns into something else.
Right.
You know. And, you know, people are like, do you believe in an afterlife? And then you kind of have to ask, well, what about the before life? Is there anything before this? And,
right.
You know, I kind of think that, like, your body is a vehicle that you go through life with. But there's something else to people and even animals. There's such a thing as – I think there's such a thing as a soul. And I think your body is like kind of like a – I heard a minister once describe it as a glass of water was the metaphor, where the glass is your body and the water inside is your soul. And
right.
when you die, you drop the glass and it shatters.
Mm-hmm.
Your body disintegrates, right?
Right.
But that water all goes somewhere.
Right.
So the water like seeps down. It joins the other water and the water table. And, you know, there's a whole metaphor that he made out of the, you know, the spirits and the afterlife and everything.
Yeah. The way I always break it down is, even if I was trying to prove it from a scientific standpoint, I always think about energy not being able to be destroyed. You know, it just it becomes displaced, you know. So it's like if all we are is electrical charges, you just go somewhere else. Right. So but basically the thing I was trying to get to is like I think I believe in both. I think, you know, aliens and, you know, your soul could be like a real thing. I think. For everybody, I don't know. What do you think about
it? It's the saddest thing to me, the idea that if there are aliens, that in my lifetime we won't know.
Damn, like, that is kind of,
like, fuck, I just
want
to know.
And also, like, after watching, what was it? What was the movie with Jennifer Lawrence and, what's his face? Interstellar? No, not Interstellar.
Passengers. I just saw that. I kind of liked it.
It was really good. It
was a sappy love story. There was some bullshit in there.
Yeah,
for sure.
I just want to be able to travel like, on that ship.
Is that crazy though?
That was the star of the show.
Yeah,
the star of the movie was the ship.
It really was.
That was like when I saw that, I'm like, oh yeah, this is space travel. That's the way it should be. What I didn't understand, I thought Lawrence Fishburne was like, he shows up and he's like, hi, I'm here to move the plot forward.
Spoilers. We already talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, basically, just okay. I'm excited. Like Star Trek, right? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say,
yeah.
I'm blown away on the idea of literally leaving
the planet.
Everybody that you know is dead.
Yeah.
Like, and if you go back, like, you can do the trip back and forth. Like, the pilots apparently just go back and forth
right.
on sleep. And, like, so you're, like, 500 years old.
Yeah.
But you're only, like, 30. Everyone you meet ever is always dead.
That's
later
nuts.
Like I'm like, you're pretty alone then, like you better love these
people who did people sailing ships back in the day. It was kind of the way it was for them, because you know it took you like 3 years to get to America from where, you know, and then
probably
like
probably not going back,
and you're not going back. Everybody you know is you could
scurvy, and
you might get a letter in 10 years or something, and it's going to be on a you think a tweet's hard to write? You know, like,
well,
you've got one page to tell them everything.
Well, in the story, nobody's ever, you're never going to get the letters from anybody. Like, you're going to be an old person by the time.
Well, I mean, even the, you know, they were talking about people.
The mail is so slow, even in the future.
Yeah. Did they ever pick a crew to go to Mars? I don't know if we'll ever actually do it.
Did we pick one?
They were supposed to be like a whole.
Well, they're still interviewing people.
Okay. So
there's all kinds of, like, Elon Musk is like, well, because it's weird. I think Mars is going to be like private sector space travel.
Yeah.
All they have to do is find something there that makes money.
Right.
Like they're going to get to Mars and somebody's going to be like, oh, look, here's gold or a diamond or something. And
like that asteroid they've discovered that has
nickel worth
on
like,
it. Yeah, trillions of dollars.
It's like quadrillions.
Quadrillions
plus some.
They're saying like, oh, yeah, we're going to send stuff to investigate there. I'm like, oh, that's going to.
Yeah.
That'll get somebody going.
Seriously.
Well, I mean, that's where it's going to – I think space mining is probably going to be what drives the most space exploration. They're going to be sending people out there for resources.
Okay, if you get reincarnated and there's a Starfleet, are you joining?
Fuck yes. I'm going boldly.
You know, I was just watching an episode of it, and I was like – I was watching the Star Trek Generations because that's where my daughter and I were catching up on stuff. And I was like, you know, they have all these families on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, y'all bring your families when you're fighting Klingons and like Romulans? I'm like,
then you don't even come back up to
you're
the ship.
You're an exploration ship, but like Really? You're kind of putting your... I'm not sure I'd put my daughter... Like,
people did it on the Mayflower.
That's true.
Well, let's explore... You're not fighting Cardassians.
Well, no, but they did have the Spanish Armada to contend with. I mean,
you don't have this fucking android who goes berserk every 10 episodes and almost destroys you all the time.
Well, I mean, it does. I mean, it presents a good, you know, it presents a good question. I mean, bringing your family, I would think the Mayflower is kind of similar to that. You know, you're exploring.
I didn't expect a good analogy.
Well...
I didn't expect something comparable. I was just going to bitch about the selfishness of these lieutenants.
I definitely think being single and going, you know, traveling, I think that would be the ideal. It would kind of be like the military, right?
They do have military ranks and stuff. It's weird. Right. And the military doesn't let you take your family with you.
Right.
But what's strange about Star Trek is it's you know, it's all these morality parables and stuff. But the world they live in, like, you don't need anything.
Right.
There's no money. They have these machines and make all the food and the clothes. There's no problem finding a place to live. You can just have a machine make a place to live.
Yeah.
So your whole life, because if you think about how much energy we devote to just staying alive, I think that's actually part of the problem we're having right now in America is that we have so many resources. We actually have the resources and what it takes to end pollution, end homelessness, treat the mentally ill.
Right.
Like, we actually have all of these resources. The only thing we don't have is the political will to just go ahead and do it.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah, that's just crazy, right? Yeah. And that there's people, and the reason why is because people don't want to give the system away, you know, because capitalism keeps some people living very, very well, and the rest of people, you know. But if you brought the floor up, right, if you had just brought it up to the point where, like, people had a place to live, just four walls on a roof, nothing too fancy, you know, and then, like, running, you know, like let's say a studio apartment type place, and then you dropped off a bag of rice, and then you gave them medical care and a chance at, like, you know, an education for not too much money.
Right.
Then see what happens, right? And everyone's like, well, there's going to be people that just want to do a bunch of drugs and sit around. It's like,
okay.
Yeah, so, let them. Yeah. I'd rather that they do it in some apartment than on the street where I have to explain it to my kids, you know? And then
and I think it brings down the crime rate.
Yeah, because you're going to have – because think about how much we do just to put the roof – how much do you do on a daily this just to get money so that you can pay for your house and pay for your food and all the other things you need.
If your kids are hungry, you're going to commit crime.
Yeah. I mean,
So in the Star Trek world, they take all that away. And then it becomes a question of, you know, once humanity has eliminated these pitfalls, what are we? Right. Because we were just trying to survive. And you can justify all kinds of things. We'll let somebody murder another person if they're just trying to survive.
Right.
If you're sitting in your house watching TV and somebody comes in and you shoot them dead, you know, because they're burglarizing, you know, you get away with it because you're just trying to survive. And we allow that.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you create a scenario where people don't need to murder and they don't need to burglarize. Right. And then when a person does anyway, then it reflects so much more truly on the morality. And that's what kind of, you know, person are they? And that's why Star Trek is such a great morality play, if you will, because they've taken all that out. So I think it makes sense that they take their families with them because the people who've chosen Starfleet to go explore really are, you know, this is their life. And if they also choose that they want to have, you know, a family while they do this, then
damn,
you know,
that's deep.
The weird thing about it is, like, they go back and forth a lot on if they have money, because there was a claim like, oh, Starfleet, I don't have money, I don't need money. Then, like, well, how are you getting this stuff from other planets when you visited?
Okay,
like,
well,
what's with the latinum? Like, you need that latinum.
Okay, yeah, there's still money and there's still commerce and there's still trade and you still need to have things done and there's still capitalism, right?
Kirk says he does not have money.
And
Sisko's son said that. Like, there's an episode on Deep Space Nine where the young Ferengi who becomes in Starfleet says, You always say you don't have money. He's like, I don't. It's not, we don't, I'm
but
human.
That's because they don't need
said,
it.
I'm human, I don't have money.
Right, because the humans have now found a way that they can provide for all humans that they don't
so
need
money.
So
how do they interact with other people, though, if they don't have money?
They're still trained. Like, if you still, you know, I bet Starfleet still has a bank account, you know? Like, Starfleet still.
You think they just provide, like, oh, I need to,
Well, I mean, like, okay, what is money anyway, right? Like, we just print a number on a piece of paper, and then we're like, the only reason it works is because we all buy into it, right?
And give it monetary
like,
value.
If you take a $100 bill and a $1 bill, both of them are going to wipe your ass just as good.
Exactly.
Right? But one of them, you don't want to wipe your ass with, right? So if you're in the woods, you're like, I'll find a pine cone because...
Okay, let me ask you guys this. I wasn't, like, the biggest Star Trek fan growing up. But my dad used to take me to every movie. We used to watch the old school Star Trek. Which one was the one with Kirk and Picard?
Generations.
Was that the one?
They were in the different series, asshole.
No. I mean the movie.
Yeah, Generations.
So, take me back through that one. There was like, who was the guy who was shooting the rocket at the thing to try to bring it to?
That was Sorin.
Okay.
That was Dr. Sorin. But he wasn't like a, that was the first time we ever met him.
Oh, okay. He was never. If you guys could have that paradise world. Or the real world.
That's a good... You know what?
Or that, like that living movie, in the Matrix.
Oh, yeah,
That movie does piss off some people because they're like...
Why does it piss them off?
Because they're like, well, the time already happened and then this paradise world, you can go back to any point in time. So some people say, well, now they're just living in the Nexus the rest of their... Picard's stuck in the Nexus. He's never left.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just get out of the... You can't just pop out of it. So people are pissed off.
Still, so the rest of everything's invalidated because he's still living in the dream world.
Yeah, there's some people that say that. Let's see.
There's actually a pretty big continuity error because Scotty's on the ship when Kirk gets sucked into that thing.
Yes.
And then there's an episode in The Next Generation where they find Scotty because he's landed on a Dyson sphere, and which is a giant. Basically, machine built around a star to harness this energy, right? Yeah. And he's in a ship, and when they go in the ship, they notice that there's something weird going on with the transporter. It's basically on a repeat loop. So Scotty beamed himself because he was running out of food and all this other stuff. He beamed himself into the transporter and then put it on loop on a low power setting so that he could stay vaporized forever until somebody basically like hit the switch and beamed him back in.
Oh, okay.
Which is a really like awesome little trick, right? Yeah. So then he's like, "Oh, did Jim Kirk send you to get me?" Right? And it's like, "No, you fucker! You knew he disappeared in the Nexus. You saw it happen.
This has been explained that it probably the rematerializing thing that happened to him probably gave him a little Swiss cheese memory that it wasn't quite back yet. Probably took a little time for his memory to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Sam on Quantum Leap."
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Quantum Leap. God damn, that was a good show.
That was such a good show.
Here's a comedy story for you. This is kind of an interesting. My wife went to a long time ago before we were married, we broke up for a while because she went.
Have been so happy.
Yeah. I think she was. She went to get a master's degree in Boston.
Any kind of pizza she wanted.
And all right.
Joe was like, "You hit a fucking nerve." All right.
You did it. I went to visit her in Boston, and we were walking around, and I was like, "Oh, look, there's a comedy show. Let's go check out this comedy show." And you walk; it's a Chinese restaurant, and you got to go up two flights of stairs, and then there's like this bar on the third floor. Well, what's really cool is they got a dumbwaiter that shoots all the Chinese food up to the third floor, so you can order all the Chinese you want, and then you get
So it's just some guy with a GED? What? Like a dumbwaiter, you said?
The next entry in the pun contest.
Right. Dad joke.
Silas just took that joke to the next level. Anyway, I saw, before he was on Last Comic Standing, I saw Mike Kaplan there. And he did this really awesome set, right? I know he was my favorite of the night, and then I saw him on Last Comic Standing. I've kind of been a fan since, but he did a thing where he did the whole set on Quantum Leap. He had a whole set that was based on the show Quantum Leap. And the last joke is, now if I could, I'd Quantum Leap back to 1988 when all these jokes were relevant. Because I thought the whole thing was great, but you could tell it wasn't really hitting with the crowd. Because it's younger people. They don't know what Quantum Leap is, you know? But it was really great. Cause like,
I worked with him, and he was great, man. But it's like, yeah, some of the jokes were missing that generation.
Well, the reason I like his jokes is that he's got jokes that definitely you have to think about them.
They're smart. Yeah, they're really
smarter jokes. Yeah, yeah. Right? But, you know, Chris Rodriguez told me once, if the dumbest guy in the room don't get your joke, then, you know, you got to dumb it down. I mean, you know, I take that advice with a grain of salt, but he was making a point, which was the reason no one's laughing is because you're making jokes that are too lofty. You need to you know.
It's interesting. Because I talked to my wife about that, and she was like, no, don't fucking dumb your comedy down, like, for anybody. She was like, you know, people will get your jokes, you know.
You have to have faith in it, but right. I think his advice to me at that moment was good advice, because
yeah.
The joke, I was trying something that was a little bit too, required a little too much from the audience.
Too much thinking, where not everybody's.
You
want to
make them think, but you can't ask too much.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, a lot of these people are drunk.
Yeah, you can't ask them to know, like, Pythagorean theorem, like,
right.
During a.
Yeah. And then I said, B squared. Oh, I meant 4A.
Here's the thing. When you do a joke that's too smart for the dumbest people, the people who are smart or smarter than that dumb person really appreciate you.
Oh, sure.
They're going to really like you.
Well,
you know,
also,
like, I really like that.
You're, you know, like, Mike Kaplan's got a fan base, and they know what he's going to do.
Right.
So his people are going to come to see his show. Like, have you do it long enough, and the people will find you.
But, you know, okay, because here's the thing. I hate even saying, because I'm one of those comics that I do shows and be like, hey, no, this guy, you really got to listen to him. It's going to make you think, like, oh, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't introduce me like that. But so I've gone to enough shows where, and I do casinos, where some of the jokes just are not hitting
with
some people. But what it does is it creates a fan base. It does makes fans of the people that do get it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm totally okay with, if half the audience is not laughing, like, at some of the jokes, well, fine, whatever. I got some of these other ones. You do it enough and you just don't care. I think caring too much is just the moment you start dumbing down your jokes for the dumbest person in the room, your comedy's pretty dumb and you're not interesting.
Yeah.
If you're interesting enough for the dumbest person in the room,
it's about being relatable.
You're not an interesting person.
You have to
true.
Be relatable, right? If you go in there, like,
you don't have to be relatable to everybody.
No, but you got to be relatable.
You want to be relatable to that rapist in the corner? I don't want to be relatable to him. Fuck him.
But you you want to be relatable to at least like half of the room, I would say. You are. Yeah, but I mean,
can't be too
well.
Smart.
You also can't alienate half the room,
right?
Like, you get up and start making, you know, woman jokes,
right?
I won't say who, but I saw that happen at one of your shows at the tavern at Daryl's, where the guy, you know, the comic lost the audience because he got too aggressive with the crowd work and a lady,
yeah,
and all the ladies in the audience, you know.
They turn on you.
They turn.
Oh, they really will.
Okay, that's a little different than being too smart for the audience.
Yeah.
Well, there's people. I mean, you know, there's people that do like a smarter style, and I like a lot of them. I mentioned Steve Martin earlier. I think a lot of times people don't.
You know what?
Get
here's the bro. Watch Jim Stewart Allen.
I love Jim Stewart Allen.
He does not give a shit if you don't understand his revolutionary joke.
No
joke. I mean, maybe you need to make that joke better so that people will laugh at him for the enthusiasm at which he's telling the joke.
Well,
they're like, I don't know what he was talking about, but that was great. That's the only thing you need to do. Mm. He is a perfect example of you can be. Now, granted, maybe people don't book him because they don't get his humor, but he also headlines shows.
That's true.
Like, I mean, so it's about, yeah, here's the thing. I'd rather, make people have an opinion about me. And so that I won't do the rooms that, God, please don't. If I could never do Daryl's again, which is my own room, because my jokes are too clever for it, and I can only fine, good. I'll ban myself from my room if it gets me these other better gigs.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the show will get better.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true. I should have put that on our booking board.
No way.
Like, notify. Sort of future reference, Sasa Design has been doing a shitty job hosting at Daryl's Tavern. And he's banned. He's blacklisted.
He's cut off.
Please, nobody recommend him for the show anymore.
Fuck him.
You're like, what? Did he just ban himself?
Can't get booked on his own show.
Can't get booked on my own show, literally.
Final one of the final questions I wanted to ask everybody, since we just got done with Super Bowl Sunday. Did you watch the game at all?
I did. I did not, other than, you know, having a Yankee scenario with, kind of. You know what?
I did watch it. I invited you to my house. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'll.
Yeah, but the thing is, the problem is, okay, I appreciate the invite, but here's the problem. When you accept that invite, you have to stay for the whole game.
Right.
And if the game's like, you're like, I kind of want to go home and just, like, fart, you know, like, you can't leave the house. I can't go over to your house till the game's over.
Can't even take a shit at somebody else's house.
Well, I can do that, but I'm just saying, like, if I want to go home, put on some PJs and
be comfortable.
Well, why would you? You're having such a good time. Right? At the Super Bowl party?
You know what? At this point, it's an it's an imaginary party, and I'm already want to leave. So anyway, I think I watched it. I didn't have any emotional investment in, in the team other than the Yankees scenario where I just don't like the Yankees because they just, you know.
They win all the time.
They win all the time. Yeah. Fuck those guys. The same thing with the Patriots. Plus, you know, a couple years ago, we had our own little thing with them.
Yeah.
Fuck those guys, you know. And then, you know, the whole Deflategate
false,
and all that shit.
It's a false tale.
Is it, though?
It is.
Is it?
They've done.
They've done tests.
HBO. Sports. They did an investigative journalism about it.
Well, okay. People don't like like anybody winning that much, especially in football.
Then they also Spygate, wasn't that them that they got caught spying on the other team? So
Well, some things that they've done weren't illegal until they did it, and then you know what? Fuck these guys. We're gonna make this illegal.
Well, that's like Pop Warner, the old coach that they. The Little League's named after. This guy is a real guy, and he used to do things like he had a uniform, and then he sewed a football-shaped brown patch on everybody's uniform so the opposing team couldn't tell who had the ball. He had, like, all
That's
kinds
awesome.
Of...
That's like Belichick would have done
that. Exactly. Dude, he did everything dirty. Wow. This guy was like... he just
That's
and,
awesome.
And there's so many rules in football even now that happen because of him. Because he was like, I'm going to do this bullshit, and it's... They're like, no, you can't do that. But, I watched that. I couldn't – there were so many aspects of that game that I just could not believe.
Yeah.
That one catch with the bearded homie.
Yeah.
Caught that thing, and it was like
– it bounced off somebody's leg. And
He basically bobbled the ball like 2 inches off the ground while being sandwiched between two defenders.
But he kept it.
He did. Hey.
You know what? My cousin brought me to a party.
Yeah.
And I was the only person rooting for the Patriots there of like 12 people, and they're all cheering.
Yeah.
And I was like,
they're probably giving you shit the whole time during
Just kind of, they wanted to couldn't quite get. It was like fourth quarter mid, and the guy's like, I'm starting to feel like you're a Patriots fan. Like,
from New England. Yeah, grew up in Boston,
Yeah, I have been. I'm like, oh, fuck them. He was all mad when they were coming back. They were all getting happy that the Pats were getting beat. And like, even at halftime, I was like, you know, no matter what happens, I don't care. Tom Brady, everyone has to admit, the greatest of all time.
You're right.
I mean, come on. And the guy's like, well, I don't know about that. Like, people
try to compare Joe Montana.
Well, they're just shitting on him. Like, no. I'm like, just because you're losing this game, that doesn't mean it. And I kept telling people, I was like, you know what? They've come back from further than this before. I wouldn't discount them. The guy's like, they'll be lucky to
but
get double digits.
But for a Super Bowl, that is an amazing comeback.
Yeah. That was an amazing comeback.
They first half, they just shit the bed.
Oh, really did.
You know, I mean, I wanted Atlanta to win. There was a thing in the middle of the Super Bowl. They said, these are all the championships that Boston's won in four major sports. And it was like 50 or something.
Yeah,
and then like, here's Atlanta. It's like two.
You know what? But when I lived out there, we didn't win shit. There was this dry spell of like 2 decades.
I feel
nobody
like
ever
Boston must have like sold their souls to the devil. Something happened. Just was like, hey, here
everything
we go.
Just started
everything.
Working.
You know, as much as I don't like New England, hats off to them, man.
That
in order to come back from that and Atlanta, Jesus. Like, especially Dan Quinn, who was
he was a defensive coordinator here.
Yeah, for the Seahawks. And
that's another reason why I was rooting for him.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden for him to lose, that style to the same team, I'm just like, wow.
But isn't as happy as I was for the Patriots, I couldn't, and everyone's talking about greatest of all time quarterback.
Yeah.
How bad must you have felt to have lost that Super Bowl,
right? After
like,
you're up
you're
that
grasped.
Much?
Yeah, you're like,
you're
killed
up 30 points or something.
Yeah.
It was 31 points.
You know, here's the thing. You don't get sacked and fall out of field goal range. You put the game out of reach with it. You know, it's like a two-score game. But they fucked that up and couldn't even, so.
There was just these moments, and I felt like, oh, Patriots are going to, I was like, ah, they're going to get killed if they're just playing defense the whole time. They're going to wear them out. And I was like, oh, this is stressful. I'm like, this isn't fun. Be on my phone. Now my phone's losing power.
Then
it started to come back. I was like, oh, it's going to get so close. This is going to be depressing. It's going to get close. And I'm like, wait a second.
And that was the first Super Bowl won in overtime, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
That actually surprised me too.
Yeah, I thought, I was like, how is that possible?
Largest comeback, win in overtime.
I was tweeting the whole game. I was shitting. Like, I was like, man, these Atlanta hoes are about to get paid tonight.
I know.
And then all of a sudden it was
everyone's
like,
oh, I loved it. I was seeing everyone shit on all every Patriots fan I know. Like,
you're right.
Naren was getting shit. And like, I was getting shit. People started tagging me.
It's so like
you bastards.
I refuse.
And then like just watching it come back.
Right. Oh, that must have felt so
Keith,
great.
Cameron owes me $10. I've not received that yet on PayPal or Facebook Messenger. Motherfucker owe me $10
because Venmo.
You bet on Atlanta. You're gonna sound. Where's my interest, Mitch?
Oh man, that was like, you know what? I refuse to be one of those guys who just shits on other teams because I always know what it feels like when you lose like a Super Bowl, and I'm
this
like,
is you shit on your own team.
I do. I always do. I'm like, oh, you're a piece of shit,
oh,
Russell Wilson.
If that had been the Seahawks down,
yeah.
At on the first quarter,
totally.
You would have been ridden them off.
I'd
be
like, this shit's fucking
I'm
over.
I'm going to the store.
Seahawks are a good comeback team, though, man.
They
great
are.
Comeback
they,
team.
And but... every time he has no faith in them.
Hey, like everybody, wait, what was this last one? Where you were like, hey, watch, they're going to come back. I was like, fuck that. The Falcons are beat
I
our
keep
asses.
The hope alive until it's
You know where this all started? This all started when Green Bay played Seattle, and I was like, well, it's been a great season, guys. We were down by how many? Like
So many,
like three touchdowns or something, and then they had the fake field goal.
But they get a lot of comebacks before that.
I mean,
like,
they do.
I mean, it was
– Seattle Seahawks do a great comeback game.
And I'll tell you, between –
But against Green Bay.
The two teams that I see do this all the time are the Seahawks and the Patriots.
Right.
The Patriots constantly I'd be watching it and be like, or watching it online or just having seen the scores and they're down like 31-3 and I'm like, son of a bitch. And I stop paying attention and then find out they won 38-30.
Yeah,
like,
so crazy.
What?
There was that's
there
like every ball game
left.
My dad ever took me to.
Yeah.
Like, we left third quarter or eighth inning or whatever, you know, and then we hear the ride on the ride home, like, oh, they won. They're like,
you
shit,
know what?
Dad.
I always wonder how it must feel for those people who bought tickets to that Green Bay Seattle game.
And
where
sold them?
And you know, just like where it was third quarter, and they're like, "Oh, it's already over." You know, in the NFC Championship.
Get why you would leave?
I just stayed at the end. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they're like,
you got kids at a parking.
The parking. Yeah, but if you would stay to the end, if it was close, you should stay to the end. Just stay to the end. Man.
I always stay just because you know the tickets are expensive, and usually I'm drunk, so
might as well.
I mean,
I couldn't spend that much money and get drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't spend the money. I bring a flask. Come on, man.
That's smart. Oh, God. But
you
get
a Coke and you put a little bit of the wild thing in it.
Spend that much on the ticket.
Well, don't they? Wait, what kind of flask do you have? Because don't they have the wands now? Where they?
I
want to
remember it.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
They do.
Yeah, they like search you for everything, like guns.
Did you get a blow up one?
That's actually smart. If you get a little plastic. Like
plastic
flask might be a
you
good
can
idea.
Put it in a water bottle,
dude. We should do that on. We should start a new.
Just go get a Coke, and then you just put the whiskey in the Coke.
That's
what I. That's what I always do.
But they don't let
you
bring
how do
you drinks
get the whiskey
in.
You
bring it in a bottle.
But they don't let you bring bottles in, right?
Come on, guys.
Joe, are you using your prison purse?
little, do you have a little those gift those gift shots?
Right,
right up the anus.
We
right?
should we yeah. should find a.
There's
we
all
create...
kinds of ways to smuggle alcohol.
Well, I used to bring alcohol those little alcohol.
Oh, those little plastic ones. Yeah,
yeah, and bring them into movie theaters.
I mean,
theaters.
Like
yeah.
Seahawks games, like
that's
you're
steak,
outside,
man.
It's winter, you're wearing a million layers,
yeah.
You can't find a way to. Sneak a few ounces of whiskey into
yeah.
your outfit somewhere?
A few ounces.
Yeah. Well, I think – I can't remember if they just wand you or if they make you go through. But, I mean, I guess, yeah, there's smart ways.
I think
there's
they
like
only
70,000 people in there or whatever.
Yeah.
They
goes
can't...
off, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. They might – because, I mean, they get me from my belt every time. And they're like, go ahead and pat you down. Just I'm like, all right. Fine.
Well, the other thing, too, is the security – people working at that don't
give,
a fuck.
Yeah.
They don't.
They're like, I don't get paid enough to deal with
they
this
don't
shit.
Care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
So –
anyway. Just don't have your baby in here.
You know what? I know a girl who works security at the Seahawks game. She says she catches people having sex in the family bathroom.
Oh, I'm sure.
She catches people.
All people. All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. Peeing in corners of the place, not even going to the bathroom. Just like.
Because they're drunk.
They're drunk. They're all kind of stuff, man. It's so wild.
I have this joke about how if you go into the lavatory on an airplane. It has a baby changing.
That's the
table.
Only place where a bathroom's called a lavatory.
I know.
I was like, why are you using the word laboratory?
Lavatory. It says the baby changing table says 100-pound limit.
Oh, wow.
and I was joking about that being kind of funny. And someone who worked at Boeing came up to me after. It's like, actually, they do that for sex.
Oh, really?
Because people will have sex in the bathroom. I'm like, fuck you. Don't ruin my joke.
You know what's so interesting? Like, I think,
you really need sex that bad?
Yeah, but I think it's part of the Mile High Club experience thing. Like,
just do it in the aisle. Come on.
You'd hand job next to the old lady.
Yeah, whatever.
If it's one of those red eyes and it's not too full, you just
do
it on the seat.
Wouldn't they catch you, though? Like, they're like, one person at a time, please.
That's part of it is like, how do you fit two people in there?
Well, here's what I was thinking. Like, this was a really cool thing was this couple faked that this guy put two casts on his hands. And so she was like, he was like, I kind of need my girl to like unzip me and, you know, so I can go to the bathroom. And they just hooked up in the bathroom, man. I was like, that is genius. They set up props in order to – that is insane.
Okay, I've got a backstory, character development.
Just to join the Mile High Club.
Yeah, I'm like, is it really that worth it?
I need her in there. And,
You know what they need to have? They just need to have, like, an airline where they just
– where it just is an orgy.
Just encourage it.
Yeah, there you go. Just like
– to just, you know.
I think they do have something like that. I remember, like
– what do you call it, Mile High Airlines?
No, this was on
– Mile High Airlines?
This was back when I was, like, a perv. I used to watch Real Sex. Back when, okay, I'm still. But you remember Real Sex?
Yeah,
on HBO, right?
Oh yeah. I've got an erection now. I was thinking about it.
That was like the best thing when you were younger. Like, oh man, Real Sex 35.
Real Sex is coming on, but it was always like it was always something weird too.
It really
like
was.
Some, like, look, oh, here's a like, you're like, oh, there's gonna be some naked women, except they're all gonna be 300 pounds
and all painted
and tattooed, right? And they're gonna have.
I think I see a boobie.
Yeah, and there's gonna be piercings in weird places.
You're right, and they're gonna be telling poetry. You're like, oh.
I remember tweeting. I remember there was a few years ago. I was unemployed,
right,
and had free HBO happening at home. And this was on.
That's a bad combo.
I know.
Man.
And really so, like is. The Real Sex videos, Real Sex was playing, and I kept Facebook updates on. Oh, so this is a thing. And remember Mona Conception? She's like replies. She's like, I know what you're watching. This is like this horse play.
Oh,
dress up like horses,
dude. It's so weird, but yeah, fucking Real Sex, man. That was
Real Sex. Well, Joe,
you're talking about going back and looking at that as a kid.
Yeah, that was the highlight of my childhood. Was Real Sex.
We used to have to work real hard for it, man.
Yeah. That's where I was going.
Putting the cable between the. Thing or whatever. Back when the dial was up here, like we moved it across the cable box.
There was I guess there was this plane where people used to like have zero G, but they also used to like hook up while like it was going up and down. It was weird. So,
for
it was
Real
on
Sex.
Real Sex?
Yeah, for Real Sex, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Zero G.
They did it on planes.
Zero G sex.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I bet sex and zero G. Sucks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, probably not.
You're gonna have to have some weird bungees or whatever.
Yeah, just all over the place. You're like, oh, she's.
There's nothing more disappointing than that.
Yeah.
Look, when you see something on a movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, like when I see them, like they're in the hot tub. It's all sexy. And then I did that. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Hot tub sex.
Just
not
go to
good.
The bed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is
seriously. Hot tub sex is not good. Yeah. Waterbed sex is a pool sex. None of this water sex
bed.
Is.
Yeah.
I've not been on a waterbed.
I haven't done waterbed sex.
I haven't seen a waterbed since
not really.
Nothing.
Have you seen a waterbed? Yeah.
There's
lately?
No resistance.
No.
Who has a waterbed?
Yeah, who has a waterbed still? Those things used to be awesome back in the day, I thought, though.
I remember my dad having one. I don't even want to think about that now.
Yeah,
why he had a waterbed. God. It was the 70s. They all had a water. And he had a van.
And a
lava
lamp.
Those things are also really bad for your back.
Are they really?
Waterbeds? Yeah.
Oh, I guess
they don't give you
any
support.
I guess I thought water was better for everything.
Nah.
So it would be good.
Yeah,
it's good for fruit.
Maybe if you were in a deprivation tank or something like that.
You guys ever do that?
No, have you?
Oh yeah, there's a place over right next by Green Lake.
Tell me about it. How was it?
It's really salty water.
Okay.
So don't shave.
Right.
Because every little nick.
Ooh.
Is
okay.
Right.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Every
good point.
You know, like you scratch a pimple on your butt, it's gonna burn.
Ooh. Okay.
But yeah, you go in there and it's big. It's
you can't breathe. How do you breathe?
It's really buoyant, so you float super because there's so much salt in the water.
Yeah, and so it's like
float.
Half of you is submerged, right?
Yeah, and then the water's pretty warm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a large, it's like a big.
You pee in it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it someone else's?
They drain it between each one.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they wash them out.
But I hear it's like completely dark, right?
It's completely dark.
Okay, so you lose sense of like where you're at.
Well, you just, you know, you're floating in water, and it's weird because, like, your ears are still in the water, so you can really hear your own breathing a lot. And the tank is only so big, right? It's like a big, for lack of a better word, it's like a big coffin, right? And so if you, you know, you reach up and you, like, reach down, you can kind of touch the top and the bottom with your arms and your feet.
Right.
But if, you know, if you try to, I try to do it so that I'm not touching the sides too much.
Right.
And then, yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's like you don't have anywhere to go or anything to do, and you know you're just going to be sitting in here for an hour floating. So
right.
if you relax, your mind can go to some very strange places.
Wow.
You know, and hey, it's kind of like dreaming.
The reason I cannot do that
is claustrophobic.
Because of the movie.
Which one?
Altered States?
Yeah. I saw that. I don't know.
I haven't seen that.
I was probably like 6 years old when that came out.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
It freaked the hell
What's
out
it about?
Of me. I don't know. The guy alters into other
the creature. Guy. There's a guy who's, you know, he's like a professor. It's been a long time since I've seen this, so I might screw it up. But anyway, mm-hmm. he's like trying to, he realizes that the human mind is capable of like seeing into dimensions beyond time and space.
Oh, okay.
And so he like starts a journey where first he goes to like these indigenous people, like mm-hmm. does ayahuasca, peyote, or whatever it is.
Right.
And then he starts experimenting with these things, and then he starts doing the deprivation tank, and weird stuff starts happening because he's already like changed before.
Mm-hmm. He becomes a creature or something.
Well, and then what happens is his goal is he's trying to get to the essence of humans, the proto man.
Okay.
Right? And basically, he turns himself into a caveman.
Oh, okay.
Right? And he's, like, running around the city as mm-hmm. a caveman, and they find him in the zoo eating a goat.
Wow.
And he's,
okay.
like,
that's
but
creepy.
He's, like, a werewolf, so he's, like, turned back into a regular guy, because, mm-hmm. like, the deprivation tank thing. And then, like, by the end, it's just, like, it's, like, the end of 2001.
Oh, okay.
It just gets super weird, and he's, like, he's going beyond the, you know, the realm of reality, and now he's, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because we didn't talk about this on the last episode. You had some sort of dream.
You know, it's an... yeah, we talked about this in the last
Did
one.
We?
Yeah.
About the dream about your baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, it's an hour and 10 minutes into the podcast, because that's when Manny gets deep.
I do. I know. It's always too late.
Let's talk about the philosophy of life.
Yeah.
I had a dream, and you know, sometimes you have a dream that like wakes you up and it like kind of startles you, you know? And most of my dreams, like, I don't remember them the next day, but then this one, like, I remembered it the next morning. It was really, really scary. And I had a dream that his little girl, that mm-hmm. he got two, but the little one,
mm-hmm.
Was real sick.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, she was going to die, and they were, like, I was talking to him in the dream, like, they were going to go to the hospital or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was really, like,
surreal.
And a lot of it is because my son is not that much older than his daughter. So
yeah.
I think it was, like, I'm having my own parental... Yeah. Anxiety, you know, going on because my kid has just got done being sick, and then like he's, you know, there's some other things going on. Maybe we're potty training this week, which is just terrible. And yeah, I was having this dream, and then I was like, "This is weird." I sent him a message. So I'm like, "This is weird, but like, how are you guys all? Are you guys all okay over there?"
Yeah.
You know. And I've had dreams like this before. It's always like something weird happens, and it's something weird happens with somebody that I have a connection with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens in my dream that connects me to that person in the dream. That's the connection in the dream.
Right.
And then whatever is happening in the dream, whether it's good or bad or whatever it is, it's not the thing that's happening in real life.
Ah.
But there's something that is happening in real life that it's a very clear, like, connection.
Mm.
So, like, I had a dream that his little girl looked like she was going to die in my dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he told me that she was sick and mm-hmm. that they were all
thrown up.
Wow.
Well, he didn't tell me that, and he didn't tell me that first. He was like, "Is anything? Is your family okay?" I was like, "Yeah, fine.
Yeah,
whatever, weirdo." And then like, "Well, I mean, daughter threw up at like 3 a.m. last night."
Yeah,
and that's when he told me that he had the dream.
It's so interesting.
That time.
3 a.m. is like the witching hour.
That's
too.
When. Well, it is. Yeah, that's when all the weird shit happens.
Yeah,
right. Because it's not just when you're sleeping and you mm-hmm. wake up and you have a weird dream at 3 a.m. It's also in the waking world because the bars close at 2.
Yeah.
And all those people get dumped on the street and they got an hour to get into trouble.
Man, there was this one night, I shit you not, I was in bed and I hear, I just heard this weird like, ha, 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 ha. And like my wife had kind of woken up and I was like, "Oh shit, did you hear that?" And she was like, "No, Manny, go the fuck back to sleep." And I was like, "You're never that aggressive. What is like wrong?" And like I heard that laughter again, and she didn't hear it. I was like, okay, she's clearly awake. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And I looked outside, nobody was out there. And I was like, all right, man, I'm just grabbing my Bible. And I like turned on like the TV here, and I was freaked out. And it was exactly 3 a.m. And I had just woken up. It was the weirdest thing, man. But I just, I got chills, man.
Wait, oh, I got no ending to this?
Was that?
No ending to that?
No ending to it. Oh, it just was, yeah.
I got some ghost stories. I got some.
Okay, well, we'll get to
those
next time.
Let's tell some ghost stories.
Time.
I want to tell some ghost
stories. We're way over time.
All
right,
okay,
now,
all right. And, well, we promised to have Joe.
Why don't you just edit out all of the
be, I don't
parts
edit
talking.
Shit.
That's right.
I'm
with this
done.
Uncut.
You're getting this. I'm not. That's why things slow down.
Can we editing. Can we have him back for a part two?
Yeah, in a year or something.
Oh, what? Fuck, man, we can't wait that long for a ghost story.
We didn't even get to any of the other
I
stuff.
I don't know. What's this what next? Okay, stuff? Next one. Dude, like, this has been, like, so educational. Like, Joe, you're a fucking wealth of knowledge, man. This is...
It, you know, it's nothing. None of it is anything you can use.
But I mean,
but
still,
it's there.
Like, you know everything. Like, when you just went to, like, the ships and all the other shit.
Well, you know, I've got a lot of time to look into things. And I'm going to find out.
With your orchids.
Joe knows a lot of things. He knows about... flowers.
Yes.
Knows somewhat about comedy.
Yeah. If you're listening, make sure you add
Joe.
He
doesn't know what goes good on a pizza. That's
oh,
the one
God.
Thing he
this
doesn't
is...
know.
Make sure you watch their videos.
Going back to this.
Hey, what's your Twitter? What's your Twitter?
I'm Jake Greenhour. If you can spell it, you can follow my feed.
Okay, we'll put your link on the on our webpage.
And he's a friend on my Facebook, so make sure you add him.
And he's a friend of mine for now.
Yes,
we'll see how the week goes.
Blocked,
reported, blocked, fake identity. I think he's Mike Cummings. That's what I think. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Joe.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm enjoying this classy establishment.
Oh yeah, man. Any shows coming up that you want to promote?
I'm going to be doing the brewery thing with Chris.
Awesome.
When?
That's March 10th and 11th at, oh my God.
Hi-Fi,
and the other one in Woodinville, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
I forget what, but he'll post it.
And, let's see, and I usually tell people to, I've been trying to plug the show that Silas and I do.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
we're working
good with on YouTube,
and we're working on I do a comedy taping thing with Lathe. We're working on putting together another tapeworm for
Lathe Sihan
with in April.
Okay,
so stay tuned for
that.
Yeah.
Okay,
awesome.
Well, Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.